Alrighty, let's take our Bibles and we're going to turn to Acts chapter 14, if you will. Acts chapter 14. And we've been working our way through this. I did this 20 years ago when we first got here, and basically we're starting a church all over again. And but that's been a whole generation ago, so we're working on this again. All right, chapter 14. Let me read a couple beginning verses there, right, beginning of chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. It came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude of both of the Jews and also the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. And but the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was as an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. Let me stop right here. At this point, we've heard this scenario several times already. I mean, they go in, they preach the gospel. Some people accept it. Some people rejected it. Some people think they're the greatest thing in all the world. Some people hate them. And that's just the way life is as a Christian. You know, you think, well, isn't everybody going to love me? I'm bringing eternal life to them. Not everybody wants it. Jesus came unto his own received him not, in general. But to many as received him, them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so this is nothing new. And so you do the best you can, you give the gospel, and you keep moving on. Verse number 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same person, heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, interesting phrase there, when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying, in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas, Jupiter, and Paul, Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do you do such these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without a witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. Just a little further. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. Remember, that's where they were, where they just, you know, they'd just been there, where they tried to stone them. And so these guys came from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, they went ahead and stoned him here. They weren't even from this town, but they convinced the people to stone Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. They went back to that place where they had been kicked out, where people had fallen over from where folks had followed him and had him stoned, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So we're doing kind of a part two here. Problems and persecutions do not change purpose and plan. Problems and persecutions do not change purpose and plan. Kind of a part two here. So that's our word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for all that you do through us. Lord, there's some things we need to learn here. And there's nothing new under the sun. And if this is the kind of things that have been going on for a long time. So Lord, I pray that you'll bless us. Give us your wisdom. Help me be a blessing. I don't want to make more out of something than it is, but Lord, you've put all this in here for a reason. This isn't just filler. Your Holy Spirit told Luke to put this in this account, this historic book. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us understand and learn so that we won't repeat the same mistakes, but rather we will rise up in arms of faith. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now, they had the same problems, the persecutions, and all this stuff was going on. And same thing we've all along. And so last time we got together, number one, we found out that Paul and Barnabas were persecuted for fulfilling their purpose. It says, when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also the Jews, verse 5, with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. And so they were persecuted. Why? For doing what they were supposed to do. Let it be, we found out God was not finished with them, and they just kind of left town. Let her see. They were not defeated. They just finished in the place at this point. They weren't defeated. Wasn't going to accomplish. Jesus did the same thing. He left Nazareth because all he could do was heal a few sick folk. And he moved on because of their lack of faith. Letter D, follow God's leading and obey his word. Paul and Barnabas had been successful. Remember, what is success in the work of God? Having done the will of God. Success in life is having done the will of God. And that's all, whether you say, well, they didn't hear it. Success is having done the will of God. The will of God for Jesus put him on the cross. The will of God for Jeremiah put him in the mud in jail. Doing the will of God had John the apostle boiled in oil and then exiled to the Isle of Patmos. I mean, were they failure? No. The will of God had Paul beheaded. Did he fail? No. They had accomplished God's will in that place, and you move on. You do what God has called you to do. Jesus came into his own, and the own received him not. But as many as received him, a few there were some. Number two, in the midst of all this, allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. It says, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe and cities of Lycaonia unto the region that lieth round about. Let me say this, letter B, do not allow your pride to guide you. Have some sense about you. Listen, there's an awful lot of preachers who say, well, bless God, I'm not good. They're going to chase me out of town. Well, sometimes we're not going to accomplish God's will by just deciding we're going to bow our back up and jam something down somebody's throat. Now, I don't think we should just run every time things get hard. That's not what I'm saying. But the fact is, it's the Holy Spirit that draws them, and the Holy Spirit is drawing them, and they don't want to hear it. It's like I talked about on Sunday, they need to turn the cat around because they rubbed the cat the wrong way, but if they're not going to turn the cat around, what are we going to do? And so allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. Forcing the issue sometimes just drives folks away. Make sure it's clear. Love them. Be kind. Let her see. We need to stop trying to control our lives and the lives of others and just turn when the Lord says turn. And then number three, they didn't stop what they were doing, but they just did the same thing someplace else. So what did they do? They packed up and went to another town, and they preached the gospel there. Jesus told them, he said, you're going to take the gospel out. If they won't hear it, go out of town, shake the dust off, brush the dust off your feet, and move on to the next town. That sounds cold. I know it sounds cold. But the fact is, there's some people out there who want to know the truth. And if we spend all our lives trying to get that one person, it's almost like we want to make sure we win. Now, we need to be doing the will of God. That is to give the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you've given the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit, and your life is not a dirty vessel chasing folks away, then you've done what you can do. Now, if the Lord opens the door for you to give it again, give it again. It's all right. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we just need to move on. Now, after number three here, I've got here an example of the sign and wonder. Now, watch what happened here. Look back in verse number 3, chapter 14, verse 3. It says, long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace. Wait a minute. Who gave testimony unto the word of his grace? The Lord. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So notice, whoever it was that gave the word of his grace, the testimony unto the word of his grace, also granted the signs and wonders. So it wasn't Paul and Barnabas who did the signs and wonders. So it wasn't Paul and Barnabas who gave testimony. Then, in other words, the Holy Spirit is speaking to these people. And so the Holy Spirit inside there is saying, there's something different about these people. You better listen to them. And then he granted signs and wonders for them to understand. Now we talked about this a little bit last week. We have, as Peter says, we now have a more sure word of truth. This is this written word of God. These are not cunningly devised fables, but the holy men of God spoke, wrote as they were, as the Holy Spirit spoke to them and moved upon them and gave them the truth. He even used those men's own personalities, but he gave them the truth to put in here. Now, the fact is, when this is happening in the book of Acts, we don't have those books. We don't have that in writing yet. And so we've got men who are showing themselves just like the prophets in the Old Testament. And so we had to know that they were from God. And so God granted the signs and wonders to what? To clarify, to verify, to confirm that what's being done was from God. And so we got to be careful trying to apply this directly. Because if you go back to 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about that the tongues they shall cease. You know, and other things, there were signs, there were gifts. Not to mean that God can't still do it, but the fact is, there's the need. He's going to do it if it's the need. Speaking in tongues, he does it. He can. He needed it at Pentecost, but now we've got the Word of God. In fact, it's translated in all different languages. On the other hand, when a fellow is a missionary, sometimes he has to be able to. I know several says they hardly could speak English, and yet they learned to go to another country and learn to speak another language so they could give the gospel. And so God gives us those abilities. So number four, let me watch this. Watch this for me. God is going to do the humanly impossible through Paul and Barnabas as a sign to mark them as being from God. Let me say that again. God is going to do the humanly impossible through Paul and Barnabas as a sign to mark them. That's what the sign really means, to mark them as being from God. Verse number 8. And there sat a certain man of Lystra, impotent in his feet, in other words, couldn't walk, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. So the central character is a man who was lame from his mother's womb. That means, and by the way, almost all towns were small back then. So he was a local crippled man who everybody knew. They knew him for years and years and years and years. Isn't that awful? We had a fellow around here for a while. Well, we got Herbie, but there was another. Oh, that's awful. Man, I just can't think of his name. Just gone. But he'd just come around and help it from time to time. But he had a limp. And he had a limp from the time he was born. And everybody knew he had a limp. And everybody in town knew him, except me, apparently. And isn't that awful? Who? Barry. Yeah, Barry. Yeah. And so he limped. He just showed up here one day. I didn't know, but everybody else in town knew him. And just think, if all of a sudden that limp was gone. Especially if you saw, watch, suppose a preacher or somebody prayed over him and his limp was gone. Well, that would be pretty notable. Well, that's kind of what happened here. And so, now this is interesting, and I may be going off the deep end on this a little bit, but I think there's something to be said for this. In Acts chapter 3, verse 2, a similar event occurred. You remember this way back when we did this? Acts chapter 3, verse 2, we have Peter and John going into the temple called Beautiful. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, and to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for the alms of the Beautiful Gate. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as a lame man was healed, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them to the porch, as called Solomon, greatly wondering. And Peter saw it, he answered the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate." And so he goes on, he says, listen, this is all God here. This is all God. Now, this is interesting. We get here to this particular instance, though. It says he leaped. And so he got up and he said, "The certain man of listen, I'm going back to Acts chapter 14, verse 8 now. Being a cripple from his mother's womb who never had walked, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, 'Stand up upright on thy feet.' And he leaped and walked." Now, the result was the same here as far as the lame man was concerned. And apparently this lame man had heard Paul preach, and his faith was obviously directed toward Paul. Because look at what it says. "The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed." All right, now let me think about it. Look at letter C on your paper. We must be careful doing the work of the Lord in the power of God, but with the attention on us. Now, maybe I'm going off deep end on this, but I just want you to see, and this is still true, whether it's in this passage or not, but it's still true, and I think it could be a little bit here. Paul was a proud man. He was a godly man. But he was a proud man. I mean, it was kind of like that time where he says, listen, remember toward the end of his life, he said, "They embarrassed me and arrested me, and I'm a Roman citizen. I appeal to Caesar." You know, it wasn't wrong to do that, but, you know, probably if he hadn't appealed to Caesar, he wouldn't have been in Rome. Might not have gotten his head chopped off. Just saying. You know, maybe if he had just forgiven and moved on, and maybe he would have stuck around a little longer. You say, well, he's compromising. Well, is he? So we might be careful doing the work of the Lord in the power of God, but with the attention on us. Now, Paul spoke, verse 10 said, with a loud voice. It's interesting that Peter and John didn't do that. They took him by the hand and said, "Stand up. Stand up." But Paul says, the loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. I made a big deal. I don't know. Maybe I'm making more of it than I should. But I think that Paul realized how the signs and wonders had had an impact on the folks in Iconium. So he decided to do the same thing in Lystra and Derbe in Lyconia. And I feel like that it is possible that Paul got just a little bit full of himself and all that God was doing through him. Now, Peter clearly made it known that he was nothing, and the folks glorified God. Peter lifted the fellow up and was not so demonstrative about the event. But Paul puts on a little bigger show. Now, look at number five. We do not always accomplish what the Lord wants to accomplish when we allow our own flesh and ulterior motives to be involved. Now, again, you might think I'm pushing this, but I think it's interesting here. Letter A. When they saw, by the way, number five, the word is flesh you're looking for. Letter A. When they saw what Paul had done, they praised and exalted Paul rather than God. Look at verse 11. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." Notice that people can even make Christianity a superstition when they see the sign of God and yet they look to the man. Now, do I think Paul wanted them to look to him as God? No, that's the case. That's not the case. That's not what he wanted. It really wasn't his game plan. But I don't know. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we can get a little bit full of ourselves and all of a sudden we're trying to be the center of attention. Letter C. Miracles are good as long as God gets the glory. Let me say that again. Miracles are good as long as God gets the glory. And the fact is, just because you say glory to God does not mean God gets the glory. Again, I'm not trying to be mean here, but there's an awful lot of things that go on in the name of Christ. And it's interesting, and it only works on TV. It's interesting sometimes that people who do all the quote-unquote healing, when they get sick, they go to the doctor. Well, just kind of interesting. Those who have, over the years, who preached that God always heals, some of them are 6 foot under. I'm not trying to be mean here. Listen, can God always heal? Yes. But God does, listen, God in His mercy does not make us live in this sin-cursed world forever. When Adam and Eve sinned, He cast them out of the garden, and He put cherubim by the gate of the garden so they couldn't get to the tree of life and live forever, the Bible says. I thought that sounds kind of vindictive. No. Sin has now entered the world. If they live forever, they're going to live forever in sinfulness. And just think about how bad it was from the time of Adam to the time of Noah, to men's their thoughts were of evil continually. And God had it so bad, God decided to destroy the earth. Think about how bad it would have been if we never had that and started over again in Noah. Because it says it's going to happen, so it becomes like as in the days of Noah is when it's going to come back. So it's going to get that bad again. Think about if we never had that break in the middle there with Noah and didn't start over again. Just think how bad we already would be. And if we live forever, think how bad it would be in an eternity future. So God in His mercy allows us to go home to heaven. I know it sounds crazy, but He does. Now, miracles are good as long as God gets the glory. The purpose of miracles is to bring praise and attention to God. If they cease to do that, then the miracle is more of a hindrance than a help. You know, you see what I'm saying? I'm just kind of, you know, some of you kind of going to be kind of itchy about this here, but it's the truth. That's fine. Listen, miracles are good if they're really miracles. But a lot of times the people, you say, well, I want to believe that God can do it. I believe that God can do it too. But do you believe God always does it? No, I don't. Can he always? Yes, he can. But does he always? No. There was a purpose for the miracles during these days. Signs and wonders to verify that these men were from God. Letter D. These people were believing in miracles. Watch. Without necessarily believing in Jesus. They believed in the miracle. But the miracle didn't draw them to Jesus. The miracle drew them back to their own gods, their own superstitions. Something went awry. And I hate to say it, men are men. The best of men are men at best, as they say. And I'm sorry, but I've known some men I've known personally who the Lord has blessed and done miraculous work in their ministry. And toward the end of their ministry, they got so full of themselves that actually people started believing in them more than believing in God. Well, they will give, oh, God did it. But it's almost like that person was almost a prophet. I was in a meeting. I'm not going to say who the preacher was. I don't need to taint his memory. But I was in a meeting, and there was preachers there from all over the country. And I have heard, it hit me. And I never said anything, but I've heard other preachers who have referred to that exact same meeting. Because, I mean, it was thousands of people there. And this preacher stood up and gave a message. And he gave a message, I guess it's out of Kings, where Elisha stood up and they had some food. He had that school of the prophets there. And there was something wrong. There was some poison. He said, there's poison in the pot. Remember that in the Old Testament? There's poison in the pot. The prophet hath said, there's poison in the pot. And what his message was saying, you know, we got to watch out what's going on in the world because it's getting into the church and there's poison in the pot. Okay, good. But in the midst of that message, he basically pronounced himself as the prophet. In fact, one time he kind of turned around and looked at everybody and says, now listen, the prophet is telling you there's poison in the pot. And the fact is, that was poison in the pot right there. And then it came to a point in our country where there was a division in independent Baptist churches. And either you were all for him, and if you weren't all for him, some people wouldn't even talk to you. You had to be 100% his way or not. I remember we were at Open Door, and there was a fellow that Pastor Smith had scheduled to come in and sing for us, and he went to that church, and we had him scheduled. And all of a sudden, he got a phone call from this fellow, and he says, it looks like I'm not going to be able to come to sing at your meeting for you. He said, well, we've had this scheduled for 6 months. Yeah, I understand. Well, why is that? Well, you haven't had my preacher in to sing. And if you're not for my preacher, you're not for me. Well, the fact is, we just didn't, I mean, as I say, sing, preach. You haven't had my preacher in to preach, so I can't come sing for you. You got to be careful. I say that. Listen, it's out there in other places. I'm just saying it can happen anywhere, and it's happened amongst folks that I know. Now, I don't think Paul was going that far, but I just think he allowed himself just to be a little puffed up here. And these people were believing in the miracle and believing in Paul. but not believing in Jesus. Listen, we think that if someone believes in miracles, that the person must believe in God. Not necessarily. We make assumptions like that. Jesus Christ is the one that everything balances on. Number six. Some people worship the preacher more than the God he preaches. Some people worship the preacher more than the God he preaches. We must be careful about that. We're all only sinners saved by grace. That's why we sang that song this evening. Even after God has used you to do something great for him, remember who you really are. Verse 12, they called Barnabas Jupiter. And I've been planting bushes. That's about trouble. He called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles, when the apostles Paul and Barnabas heard of it, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out. Now notice Paul and Barnabas were more upset about being called God than they were about being threatened with stoning. They were threatened to stone, they just left town. But they rent their clothes when God was misrepresented, but held their peace when they were misrepresented. Let me say it again. They rent their clothes and ran among the people when God was misrepresented, but held their peace when they were misrepresented. They wanted to make sure these folks were not deceived or misled, even to the point that they were stoned. They went from being gods to being stoned. If we're not careful, we say, well, you know what? We'll just let them believe the God thing here. I'm not really interested in getting stoned right now. They're more important that those people knew truth than anything else. Now, I believe that it wasn't his intention to be, you know, to be called God, but he allowed himself to get a little bit, I don't know, demonstrative, and they kind of took it the wrong way. And so they decided we need to get this straightened up. So number seven, they were willing to look foolish if necessary and in order to make sure the people understood the truth. Verse 14, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard it, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out. They ran among the people. They were not all dignified and religious. Well, let's not go that far, you know. No, said, whoa. We're just men like you. It was more important for the people to know truth than for them to maintain their dignity. They sacrificed their own reputation, if you will. Make sure there was no misunderstanding. Make sure they understood correctly. Number eight, he says, we are men of like passions. We are men of like passions. Verse 15, and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and sea and all things that are therein. So we are men just like you with the same problems, the same experience, the same suffering, the same vexation. On the other hand, James 5:17 says, Elijah was a man of like passions and did mighty things in the power of God. Paul and Barnabas were mighty men of God, but yet men of like passions. Like, you could say, shortcomings. Our emotions, our feelings get the best of us. Elijah, remember Elijah? He brought fire down and consumed all the altar and the sacrifice and everything, and had a great day on the showdown on Mount Carmel. And the next day he's running from Jezebel, sucking his thumb someplace. We got to remember, we're just humans. That God can use us to do great things. By the way, if it was a normal thing for Paul and Barnabas to be able to do this, it wouldn't have been any great show. It wouldn't accomplish what they were trying to accomplish. They did impossible things to show that God was using them, that they were from God. Letter B, we can't get caught up in the fanfare. Again, this goes both ways. When I say don't worship the man, worship God, I'm talking to you. When I say don't get caught up in the fanfare, I'm kind of preaching us, preacher. Those who are doing the work of God. Even lay folks can get to the point where they've got the ear of people, and all of a sudden, they like having the preeminence. They like that little bit of control they have over people. Let me say this. There are many people in the world who are religious, who follow men. Now, they'll say they're following men as that men follows Christ, but the fact is, when the Bible says something different, they'll follow the man anyway. And when that man falls, so does their faith. Your faith should not be in man, including me. Or ain't somebody, well, you're just a preacher in dirt. What are these people on TV? They have thousands of people listen to them. Same thing. You can have 60-some thousand people coming every week to hear you in a stadium. And your name splashed all over TV and other places. And everybody said, well, isn't that wonderful? Don't follow a man. You follow the Word of God. The man is only useful if he's showing you and drawing your attention to the Word of God. Number 9. Our goal, Paul says, was to stop all this vain thinking and help you to turn to God of the universe. Letter A, our goal is to simply turn the hearts of men to the God, there's the word, God of the universe. We're not talking about this God and that God. Those gods divide up the creation and only control part of it. We're speaking of the creator of the universe. They said, well, you're gods, you're Jupiter and Mercury. No. Well, that preacher might not be the only God, but he's pretty close. Letter B. God what? God never endorsed such heathen practices, but he did allow it to go on. Look what it says, verse 16. Who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without a witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. So letter C, God also continued to provide for his creation. As he said, this is the God I'm trying to bring you to, the God of the universe. Letter D, Paul could hardly hold them back from sacrificing to them as God. He says, and with these things, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. So many people still thought they were gods. This is not good. It's not good. Number 10, God had to make sure that the people know that they are only men and not God. Let me say that again. God had to make sure that the people know that they are only men and not God. Now, we started this with being tools in God's hands. Letter A, we are tools in God's hands. It's more important that truth is told than for the tool to be comfortable. Now, this is interesting. The Lord is about ready to have some things happen to Paul that we're not sure why. I mean, these people thought he was God. And so they say, okay, well, he's just a really good guy. They were willing to go from he's God to he's trash. He hadn't done anything different except raise this guy up because it wasn't lame. And then told him that he wasn't God. I mean, worked into it. Letter B. Some persecutors are persistent. Some persecutors are persistent. The folks from Antioch and Iconium who persecuted Paul and Barnabas now show up here. They follow him to another town. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now let me just stop here a second. If old Satan wants to persecute you and hurt you, he's going to stay at it. I don't want to get into politics, but I think a lot of that's going on right now. You know, they just decided they're going to persecute a particular person and just going to keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. That's just me. That's my politics. Maybe it's not yours. But I think it happens. I've got somebody right now, actually, who is persistently trying to drag my name through the mud publicly. And most of what basically what he says is not true, but what do you do? Accuses me of ruining his family. I feel bad for the guy, but I don't know, what do you do? I don't know what to do about it. Not that I slept with his wife or anything like that, that's not what I say. It's just that I gave bad advice or something. And in fact, I didn't give any advice. That's what he talked about. But anyway, some people just get persistent. And old devil likes it. If he can find somebody to push their buttons, he'll do it. He'll do it. Anyway, letter C. This is interesting. I'm not sure if it's the truth or not. I think because Paul had gotten it right, but I think God wanted to make sure he didn't do it again. Paul needed help being humbled. Now, he did say, I'm not God, don't think I am. But I think he probably won't do this, rise up! I don't think he'll do that again. Long time ago, there was a fellow on TV, and they would bring people up there, and he'd smack them on the forehead. Yay! You know, and they all fall back, you know, and all this stuff. I mean, he just smack him in the forehead. And it's been a long time. And when his show came on, there would be this smoke, and the curtain would open, and there would be this bright light, and there he'd stand in this perfectly white suit, and he'd come out. And he was a faith healer. And he'd make such a big show and people would all come I don't know. He's gone. I don't know where he is, but he's gone. I don't think God's in on that. I don't think God's in on that. I think Paul needed a little help being humbled before he actually got out of hand. Letter D. So watch this. God had to also show the people that Paul was just human. God had to show the people that Paul was just human. I think it's interesting. It's Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas. But who was stoned? Paul. Who spoke with a loud voice? Paul. Who was the spokesman? Paul. I don't know. I'm just saying. It looked like, in fact, when they stoned him, it almost looked like they killed a god. That makes you less impressive. Sometimes we've got to get knocked down a peg in order to do the work of God. Letter E. This was a terrible thing, but apparently, or I'm assuming, it was necessary, so the people would not be led to believe that Paul was a god. Verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now, again, I don't know why God let Paul do that, except the fact that I think he was trying to put him in his place a little bit. But on the other hand, in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul refers back to this account. When he was left for dead, I think it's because he was dead. In 2 Corinthians 12, 1, it says this. Now concerning, right? That's not right. That's not right. I had that. Wait. Okay, I'm in 1 Corinthians, no wonder. All right. 2 Corinthians 12, 1. It is not expedient for the doubtless for me doubtless to glory. See that? It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He says, I could be careful not to make myself a big wig. Verse 2. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, but God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. You see, all this is in his mind at the same time. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. But gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I am become a fool in glory, and ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind thy very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except to be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, a third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. The children ought not to lay up their parents, but the parents for the children. As he goes on here, he says, and so there's other places where he says, I got to make sure that I don't get, he said, when I went to heaven, I saw things that no one else has seen. And if, in fact, there's another place where he basically says, the revelation I had, I could get puffed up pretty quick. But I'm not, because it's not of me. And so I think this all kind of goes back to circle. God was using him in a great way. This is early in the ministry, and he got a little full of himself. And God says, watch it, Paul. You realize I could take you like this? And what did he do? He didn't get up and say, conquer death. He didn't. He got up and went to the next town and preached. In fact, he went back to the old town and preached again. So number 11. I'm sorry. Go back to F. Number 10, number F. God makes all things work together for good. Even his messes. He meant well, but his old sinfulness got in the way. And God makes all things work together for good. Romans 8:28. Paul suffered a stoning, yet saw heaven, and was taught how to truly have power by realizing he had no power, but what power he has is in Christ. And notice that God was not out to hurt Paul, but to use him. Verse number 20. Howbeit, as disciples stood around about him, rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Apparently he was stoned, but he had any broken bones or anything, but he got up and walked to the next town. He got up the next day and went on. Now number 11. Paul and Barnabas just continued to preach the gospel. That's what they called to do. Listen, sometimes, folks, as Christians, we just keep doing what we're supposed to do. What is success? Having done? So you stop doing the will of God, you're no longer successful. You're talking to say he was stoned. He did the will of God. When it's all said and done, we stand before God himself. He's not going to say, how many people patted you on your back? It is imperative that a steward be found faithful. He can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's success. Paul and Barnabas were more concerned about bringing glory to God and souls to God than in comfort or prestige. The ministry is not about us. They went back to the cities they had persecuted. I'm sorry. They went back to the cities that had persecuted them before. The same cities from where the people had come and stoned him. And it was probably a shock to those folks who stoned Paul when he comes strolling into town. They hauled him out of the town and left him for dead. And a day or two later, he comes walking into town. You know what? They would have missed out on that if he hadn't gotten stoned in the first place. You see what I'm saying? They went back to the cities where they had persecuted. What a shock that must have been. Number 12. I would dare say that Paul's testimony was very confirming to the believers in those towns. Verse 22, he went back to those towns, and what's confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And hey, I know what I'm talking about. And the fact is, can you imagine? There was people in towns that I heard that they stoned you to death. And I can imagine the crowd who stoned him to death standing over here in the shadows observing all this. And the people in town, they knew who told them that they had stoned him to death. And here he is. I bet he did confirm them. To have faith. And you may have a lot of tribulation. Would you enter into the kingdom of God, the realm of God that way? The word confirm there means a support by helping to set fast, reestablish, to strengthen. Watch, here it is, to make resolute. The fact that Paul was stoned to death, went into the third heaven, rose again to preach again to the exact same people, what a mighty work that would do. Can you imagine when he walked into town? Letter B, watch me. Tragedy builds stability. A terrible thing to say. Tragedy builds stability. It was a terrible ordeal that Paul had to go through, but I'm sure his presence, after they had probably been told that their dear apostle Paul had been killed, certainly confirmed everything in their hearts. And also said he exhorted them to continue in the faith. That means to call near, to invite, to invoke, to beseech, to continue in the faith, to stay firm. Don't back down. You're saved by faith. You need to live on in faith because there are things that are going to make you doubt. There's life after death. You don't want to have to go through those things, but it's amazing what God can do. I don't want to be out of place saying this, but a week or so ago when I told everybody you got out of the hospital, there was a rounding amen over the entire building. And preacher, when you got on that plane, you didn't know what you were going to find when you got over here. And Mrs., can only imagine. Now, I don't know where we're going with this, but the fact is, God has done a great work already. Letter C. There will be much outside pressure on the way to the kingdom of God. You get a lot of pressure, a lot of heat. Many things that seem like problems will be used to do the work of God. Don't be weary in well-doing. Letter D, the purpose of the preceding persecution was to show them who to trust in. God. And that God will use us as he needs, and yet we can trust him to care for us all along the way. Typo there. It shows us who to trust in. Number 13. And all these things were rehearsed in their ears so they could learn these principles too. Look at verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. All that they did out with the Gentiles actually helped the faith of the Jews back in Jerusalem. You were what? I mean, listen, it didn't come on the news, man stoned to death. It didn't happen. They show up in town, they say, hey, there's Paul Barnabas. Well, I see how you doing. Well, let me tell you, I got a story for you. We went to so-and-so town, and they kind of ran us out, and so we went to the next town and did it again and went to synagogues, and a lot of people were saved, but then, of course, then the Jews got all upset there, and finally they tried to stone us, but we left town, went someplace, and they followed us there, and these people thought we were gods, and I was told them we weren't gods, and yet these other people showed up there, and they talked into stoning us, and fact is, they got me, but next day I got up. We went back to the town where we were before, and
Boy, I tell you what, they were excited when I showed up in town. Well, some of them were excited. Some of them weren't so excited. But we made an impact, and we confirmed their souls and their faith. Wow. Wow. Look what God has done. And we have it here in the Word right here. It's right here. Conclusion. Paul writes a conclusion. I'll just listen to it. In Romans 5, it says this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The tribulation was a good thing. They're home. They made it. And God was glorified. And many believed on Him.